From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. For 50 years, since Brown v. Board of Education, public schools have sought to create racially diverse schools with mixed success. It's hard enough in places where integration is primarily a white-black issue, but in cities with ethnic and racial minorities from all over the world, desegregation can be far more complicated. San Francisco is one such city. Schools there have struggled to achieve a racial balance over the objections of minority families who find that goal unnecessary or offensive. Our examination of the legacy of Brown v. Board continues today with this report from San Francisco and NPR's Claudio Sanchez.
For 20 years, the city of San Francisco has tried to create racially and ethnically mixed public schools, and for 20 years, people have been unhappy with the results. Black families sued at least 3 times back in the 1970s until the courts finally ordered the city to come up with a desegregation plan. By the mid-1990s, that plan was so unpopular, parents sued again to have it amended. Now, it's Chinese immigrants, themselves the victims of discrimination historically in this country, who view desegregation schemes as one more effort to deny them a quality education. At the beginning of the school year, Chinese parents protested in front of the city's school board offices. At this rally, they were demanding 2 things, that the district stop sending their children miles away for the sake of integration, and that children be allowed to attend their neighborhood schools.
So his point of view is selfish.
This woman was especially upset because the media, she said, had portrayed Chinese parents as selfish and bigoted. The man with the bullhorn is the group's leader, John Xiao, a short, rosy-cheeked restaurant worker in his late 30s. Xiao speaks for a growing number of disgruntled parents, but most of all, he says, he speaks for his 13-year-old daughter.
My daughter being signed to 9 miles away, then I feel, you know, why my daughter cannot go to the high school nearby and have to travel like a 3-hour round trip every day. Doesn't make sense. I have to like mix kids all together and send everywhere.
Xiao lives in San Francisco's Sunset District, a middle-class enclave that's attracted Chinese families in search of their first home, safe neighborhoods, and good schools. Schools that Xiao's daughter, Lana, can't attend because they're overcrowded and because she's Chinese. Under San Francisco's desegregation policy, schools that have more applicants than seats must ration those seats to create as diverse a racial and ethnic mix as possible. At Lincoln High, which is only a 10-minute walk from Xiao's home, about 70% of those slots go to kids from the neighborhood on a first-come, first-served basis. 30% of the slots are reserved for non-Chinese students from other parts of the city. Sitting across his small dining room table, John Xiao scratches his head and says, if his daughter was anything but Chinese, Lincoln would make room for her.
I think if I'm Latino, my daughter have a big chance to get to Lincoln.
But he's Chinese, and the word from the school district is final. Xiao pulls out a letter advising him for the last time that his daughter will not attend Lincoln and must pick another school.
That's why when I came home, she was crying. See, I feel like, wow, the school district is a really cobra animal, you know?
Comparing the school district to a cold-blooded animal makes Xiao's daughter, Lana, grin, even though there's really nothing funny about how she says she's been treated.
I'm angry about it, and I don't think that my race should determine what school I should go to. And no matter how much the school board denies it, you know, it's against the law.
John Xiao says school officials are trying to manufacture a racial and ethnic mix that does not occur naturally, and Chinese families are the guinea pigs. Many parents in this neighborhood agree. They're convinced that the school superintendent, Arlene Ackerman, is to blame. Ackerman says talking hasn't helped.
There are going to be people who are not going to be happy with it, but, you know, I have learned in my 34 years that you're never going to please everybody.
Especially when it comes to race, privilege, and neighborhood schools, says Ackerman. A volatile mix if there ever was one. She should know. Ackerman herself was forced to attend segregated schools growing up in St. Louis, Missouri. Of course, it didn't help that Ackerman took over San Francisco's school system after voters in California had passed Proposition 209, banning the use of race in hiring or school admissions, and right after Chinese parents had successfully sued to remove what they called racial preferences from the district's desegregation policies, all of which meant that the district's efforts to create racially mixed schools could no longer take race into account.
And the district was stuck because they didn't know what else to do. We can't use race. How are we going to keep our schools from resegregating?
So Ackerman says she called in experts to simulate what schools would look like if the district used a combination of so-called race-neutral factors in assigning kids to schools.
The diversity that we know now is around socioeconomic status or class issues. It is around now diversity that involves children who speak English, children who don't speak English.
It's about family income, whether a child lives in public housing or whether a child's mother finished high school. Six factors in all became the diversity index. These proxies for race, says Ackerman, were the logical step for a school system that must still comply with court-ordered desegregation. The diversity index, though, didn't satisfy parents who are only interested in neighborhood schools.
If people are allowed to go to their neighborhood schools, I mean, we'd probably be resegregated very quickly because the communities are segregated. This is a very, in many ways, in terms of the residents, it's a very segregated community.
Just how segregated? Eric Marr, vice president of the San Francisco School Board, says you have to look at a detailed map of the city to see. He has one in his office.
It's a dot map. Each dot is where a number of Chinese students in our district lives. And in many ways, Chinese are heavily concentrated in Chinatown and also the Tenderloin area of the city. The west side of town is where more middle-class Chinese have been able to move to out of the lower-income neighborhoods in the city.
Marr lives in the west side of town, where upward mobility really means me first, says Marr, where parents aren't just fighting for access to the best schools and competing for the most selective colleges. They're fighting for privilege, not equality, says Marr.
When people aren't aware of a struggle for equality, then they're put into a box of wanting to get their kid into a certain school and then being very angry about it when the seats fill up and they have to transport their children across town. But I believe that our district has been very creative about looking at diversity in a broader way and trying to figure out an assignment plan that assures diversity in our schools, but also equity for students that have not had the kind of access to so-called better schools historically in our district.
Meanwhile, those most affected by the city's desegregation policies, the students, have no voice in the matter, but they do have opinions. During spring break and over the summer, Jimmy Doe and Deanna Dern work as tour guides out of a tiny booth in front of a music shop in Chinatown. Jimmy, 19, attends UC Berkeley and graduated from San Francisco's most prestigious public school, Lowell High. Deanna, 17, went to UCLA after graduating from Galileo High, not her parents' first choice. To this day, says Deanna, they think racial quotas kept her out of a better school.
I guess a lot of the Chinese families are very proud and they don't want to like feel that they can't do it themselves and like they don't want a free ride. That's how I was raised, to like work for myself and not let anybody help you, or I guess kind of.
That's why anything that smacks of racial preferences is so objectionable to many Chinese parents, says Deanna. But there's something more important at stake when you're talking about the need for racially and ethnically mixed schools, says Jimmy.
Because the lack of diversity is what has led to people being as close-minded as they are. So I think if schools are more diverse, then that will help solve the problem. Because we have a lot of rights already. We're almost equal in rights. It's just that we still have further to go in terms of people's minds.
I totally disagree.
That's Denise Lim with the Asian American Legal Foundation. She says she speaks as a mother whose daughter has been denied admission at four elementary schools because they had too many Chinese children. Diversity is wonderful, but not if it's achieved so unfairly, or worse, says Lim, if it's shoved down people's throats.
I don't think it's the best approach to desegregation, and I wondered if 50 years ago with the Brown versus Board of Education case, the NAACP was saying, don't force us to go to separate schools. 50 years later now, we're saying, oh, kids must be forced to be integrated.
Lim's husband, Henry Liu, says racially mixed schools are an important, laudable goal.
But you know what I value most for my kids is that I want them to fully benefit from what this country has to offer. I want them to take advantage of the opportunities that are provided to them, and I don't want artificial barriers put up that keep my child from realizing that. And so how do you balance the desire for parental choice, the desire for neighborhood school versus what the society views as the benefits of a diverse school population, if you will?
Liu says that's the question that he and his wife and parents like John Shao want answered. Shao and his group say they won't be happy until the school district allows children to attend their neighborhood schools. School officials insist the diversity index needs more time. But if San Francisco once saw the diversity index as the ultimate solution to the 50-year-old dilemma of school desegregation, it's missed the mark. A few months ago, a court-appointed monitor found that nearly a third of the city's 114 schools have dramatically resegregated, and most have also slipped academically. Claudio Sanchez, NPR News.
You can hear other stories in this series at our website, npr.org.